chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13, we'll read verses 15 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace of her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will ye save the souls alive that come unto you? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, what a wonderful place to be. Lord, I can't think of any place in the world I'd rather be than in our church, in this place, on this day. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, there's a lost and a needy world out there. The only vessel that you have chosen to use is us. So I pray that we'd be attentive, that we'd be still, may we listen to the Holy Spirit through our preacher, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Earlier, we read from Ezekiel chapter 13. Let me read the last part of verse number 18 to you once again, where it says, will you hunt the souls of my people? Will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Notice that in the text verse, God makes a comparison to the saving of souls to hunting. I just shared with you a little bit of fun that we'll have while we're intensifying our efforts of getting people into church. We compared it to hunting, of course. This sermon is going to be a comparison type of a sermon where I found in the realm of an outdoorsman and hunting, there are a lot of what we'd call principles or truths that apply to us in the Christian life. I call this sermon Hunting with Jesus. If you bring a visitor throughout the program, and they're a visitor, I think it's sixth grade and above, for every visitor you bring, your visitor will get a copy of this sermon. They'll go to a table out here in the hallway, and you'll give them a copy of this sermon. If you bring that visitor, you'll get a copy of it as well. But we see here that God actually takes the time, and the Word of God, the comparison, the word hunting is used in regard to the souls of people. Now, we need to understand how important reaching people is to God. We're going to spend 4 weeks intensifying our effort. I'll never forget it. I think I was 12 years of age. I grew up most of my life in the state of Indiana. And I remember my dad said, son, I want to take you hunting, but we're going to go to the hills of West Virginia. That's what he told me. My dad and a dear friend of his and me and a buddy of mine got in my dad's Winnebago camper, and we headed out, and we drove all the way from Indiana to here. I meant to ask my dad this question yesterday, and I forgot to. I don't remember exactly what part of the state of West Virginia we came to, but I remember we arrived, there was snow on the ground, and my dad had told me, he said, son, the very first buck that we shoot together, we're going to mount it. Oh, I was pumped. I was excited. I was told, you know, when we arrive, we're going to get up early the next morning to go out and hunt. And Dad said, okay, now go to sleep. What? That's impossible. You know, Dad says to a boy, now go to sleep. In a few hours, we're going to go hunt. I tossed and turned. I tried everything under the sun. I don't think I slept a wink that night. I can't tell you the whole story, but my dad's friend and his son went one way the next morning, and me and my dad went another way. And my dad's a good outdoorsman. My dad knows how to hunt, and he's a very good, he knows what he's doing. And I'm traipsing along behind him, and I know I'm making it hard on him, and I know I'm making too much noise, and I'm not doing it right. I remember we come up over the top of this ridge, and about five or six deer just took off, a nice, good-looking buck took off, and I was so disappointed as I watched those white tails wave goodbye to me as they scooted across the, right down, actually, down the mountain, and they took off. My dad was so smart and so confident. My dad said, "I think this is where we want to be." He said, "We're going to wait right here." Now, that waiting business for me was for the birds. I came to hunt, not wait. It didn't all make sense to me. Oh, about an hour and a half to 2 hours later, all of a sudden, way on the other part of the mountain, you heard the shot, and my dad said, "Okay, they're coming back our way." Because he knew we had scared them from where they were, and they took off, and somebody some distance away took another shot, and my dad's speculation was that some of those deer were going to come back our way for safety. And I remember, my dad said, "Now you watch." I was trying to watch, but I wasn't seeing anything. And if you've not been out in the woods a lot, you might understand that. Now you get out there for a while, you begin to pick up on it, and you know what you're watching for. And sure enough, my dad said, "Don't move. Be still." And I'm thinking, what a terrible thing to say to me right now. He said, "Here they come." And I went so bad, and barely out of the corner of my eye, I could see some movement way out there, a couple hundred yards away, and a big old buck was coming back our way. My dad was right. That shot from some distance scared him back up our way. And I remember how tense I was, and I remember when Dad finally pulled that trigger, and the minute I heard the shot go off, I knew I could go ahead and move my head around a little bit more to where I could see what was happening, and the shot went off, the old buck jumped up in the air and took off, and I was so disappointed, I just knew my dad missed that buck. I thought, well, if he missed it, I'll run it down. I took off running. I was going to go grab that deer or something. And now, Dad very calmly just sat right down and said, "Wait, stop." I didn't realize he'd hit it, and the buck didn't fall on the spot, but I'll tell you what the buck did. It took off running, ran right into a tree, and then took off running some more. Well, we stayed there for a little while, and Dad said, let's go get our deer. Now, when we got out there, we found it. It wasn't hard to find. There was white snow on the ground, so we were able to trail the deer pretty quickly. When we got there, the sad thing was when that deer ran into that tree, it busted one antler off. And we took that deer home, and we mounted it because Dad had promised the first one we get, we'd mount. I got to tell you, later on in life, that hung, and that still hangs in my dad's house. And when our children would go over and stay at Dad's house, sometimes they would sleep in the den area, and that deer with one antler hung in the den. My kids couldn't sleep at night. I remember the first time they came to my wife, and I said, "I can't sleep." I said, "What's wrong?" "There's something in there." I said, "That's a deer." They said, "That ain't not like any deer I've ever seen. It's only got one horn in the middle. It's a unicorn or something, but that's not a deer, you know." And we've never forgotten that. Now, I'll tell you this also, though. I've had the privilege of showing a lot of people how to get saved and reaching a lot of people, and I can tell you some experiences that I'll never forget. There are some experiences like that. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while, and don't you worry about the time. I'm going to get us out of here in plenty of time. You don't have to worry that I'm going to ramble all afternoon. But I sat down and I began to compare some, this thing of hunting, with our duties and our responsibilities as Christians. You know, a good hunter learns how to obey the laws of hunting. I have a hunting and trapping regulation guide. I'd recommend, see, I believe this. I believe there are seasons. I think there are hours. I think there are limits. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law, and it is my meditation all the day." I think a good hunter follows those guides that have been set forth by us. I think it's how we're supposed to do it. But I also think good Christians follow the guidebook, which is the Bible. Not only that, I think a good hunter is always learning. you are really, if you want to be a good hunter, you can learn and learn and learn and learn. I enjoy watching DVDs that show me how to hunt better. You can learn from older, wiser hunters. The animals will even teach you what you need to know. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're always to be learning. So I think a good hunter follows the laws that are set up for us, just like a good Christian follows the laws of God. I think a good hunter is always learning and trying to learn. I think a good Christian is always learning about the things of God. And not only that, I think good hunters know their way out of the woods. Nothing like being lost out there. You got to learn the landmarks and maybe how to use a compass or a trail or a map. But wait a minute. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just like a hunter learns the trail and learns to mark his way in and out of the woods, we as Christians and people in this world need guidance. You say, where is that guidance? The guidance and the map for the human race is the word of God. You know what I'd love to see us do in these next 4 or 5 weeks, or actually it's 4 weeks long, I'd love to see us get some trophies for God. Hey, our people, and I've been talking about this program now, I actually announced it last spring. We've got a lot of people that are excited about it, and I think this is a fitting place to say it. There are some of you get really excited about hunting. You love it. You can't wait for the season. I'd like to see you get as excited about serving God as you do about going hunting. And some of you need to realize, you'll go out of your road, you'll spend a little extra money, you make this plan, you make that plan, you do all sorts of things because you like to hit the tree stand. I'd like to see you do something for God and get as excited about reaching someone for Christ as you are of hitting your limit. We ought to serve God. We as Christians are to serve God. Nothing. Hey, really, there should be nothing that we get more excited about than doing something for God, being in the will of God. Let me show you some things quickly, some very brief principles. First of all, let's hunt for the souls of men. We read it there in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 18. Folks, souls are at stake. Those people that we see walking around out there that do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, somebody needs to reach them. See, hunting is very enjoyable, but the truth is, I don't think that hunting is a game. It can be a very, very serious thing. And I think the souls of men is a pretty big deal, too. The souls of men going to hell is no game. It's a serious thing. The Bible says this, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Let me tell you something, folks. If there is anything that is a substance, it is the souls of men. And here it talks about it being precious. It's precious. The souls of men is precious. And we ought to be concerned about the souls of men. Everybody here, it's our responsibility to go out and hunt people and try to get them into the church so they can get saved. It's our responsibility. And so, may I remind you, first of all, that we are hunting for the souls of men. We're seeking the lost, Luke 19:10. But then secondly, I think you should know that there are animals that hunt, hunters. Did you know there are animals that hunt hunters? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You tangle with a bear, you'll end up being people jerky. You know, a bear could hunt a hunter. You go to Africa, and here God compares Satan to a lion. Now, a lion could stalk a human being. And you need to understand something. The devil is stalking the human race. If somebody's out there, if you have a friend or you have a loved one, and they're not safe, the devil wants to keep them that way. He's like a lion, and he is out to destroy their soul. He's out to take them to hell. So we've got to help them. But the thing that you and I need to remember is the devil, he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I would say this. If I were you, I would get ready for a little opposition. When we have a fall program like this, when we're turning it up a little bit so we can reach more people, you're going to find then the devil's going to turn up his efforts to stop us. He's going to try to slow us down. He's going to try to make it so that we don't reach as many people. Listen, we need to do everything we can to reach people, but knowing the devil, he's going to try to slow us down. Like, don't you be shocked if you get to inviting some people to church and the devil starts making it hard on you and trying to figure out ways to discourage you or get you down and make it so that it's hard to do. I like this. A group of friends went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters returned alone, staggering under the weight of an 8-point buck. Where's Henry? Well, Henry had a stroke of some kind. He's a couple miles back up the trail. Phew, you left Henry lay out there and carried that deer back? Yeah, it was a tough call, nodded the hunter, but I figured nobody's going to try to steal Henry, and I want to make sure I got my buck back. Listen, I'll tell you right now that if you start trying to reach people for Jesus, the devil's going to try to slow you down. Because, like I said, you should know there are animals that hunt hunters. And if you and I are hunting the souls of men, you can be dead sure the devil is going to hunt you. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to try to slow you down. Hey, every Sunday school teacher here that puts in extra effort to get your Sunday school class attendance up, you get ready. The devil's going to try to slow you down. Every bus captain here, the devil's going to try to slow you down. Every soul winner here, you will become the hunted because the devil wants to keep you from helping people. Not only that, number three, I think you should know how to draw your prey in. You should know how to draw your prey in. I have, there's some horns here. If you want to call a buck in, you got to know how to call him in. This is a Dobley, if you've never heard one. Let's see if we can make it just... You say, well, that sounds like a baby, yes, to a degree. There's a way to draw that deer in. Now, let me tell you something. There's a turkey call. I almost brought my turkey call. I've got a real nice turkey call that Aaron Chris gave me, and I forgot it. But you need to know, as a Christian, if you're going to draw people to God, if you're going to draw people to the church, I guess we have to know how to handle ourselves. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now let me explain that to you for a moment. If you and I are going to seek the lost, we want to see the lost be drawn into the church and drawn to Christ, I think there's some behavior. There's almost like the Christians rattling of the horns. There's almost like that Dobley that draws those people in. You say, what is that? Well, this talks about the fruit of the Spirit being kindness. Right. Kindness draws people to the church. Kindness draws people to the Savior. Here it talks about joy. Now listen, if you're a grumpy old person and you're always grumpy and you're always mean, then you go invite somebody to come to your church, they're not going to come. There's some of you, you won't dare ask somebody where you work to come to church. I'll tell you why. Because of your behavior at work. You already know that your testimony with those people is very, very weak. Because you don't practice kindness. You don't practice joy. Here the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love. And now love draws people to the Savior. Love draws people to the church. It talks, I believe this, I think friendliness and joy and kindness and peacefulness, those things, they're a draw. It's a draw, that gentleness, that goodness, that meekness. Hey, look, folks, let's face it. People can go out into the world and find fussing and fighting and rudeness and unkindness. They don't need to come to the church and find it. If we want to draw people to the Savior, remember, we're all to be seeking the lost. We're all hunting people to help and to bring to Christ. We better know that the devil, he is going to try to keep us from bringing people to Jesus Christ. He's going to hunt us and try to slow us down. You say, how am I going to draw people to the Lord, Brother Ellis? How am I going to bring them? Hey, try being kind to them. Try having a happy attitude about yourself. Try loving people. Try to have a peaceful attitude and practice gentleness and goodness and meekness and all of those things. That draws people to the Savior. That's just like when those bucks hear those horns and they want to get involved. I want to go find that. I want to be a part of that. Listen, when you and I behave ourselves like Jesus wanted us to behave ourselves, that draws people to the church. Let me give you something else that I noticed. If you're going to hunt, if you're going to seek the lost and bring them in, you're going to have to know your weapon. You're going to need to know your weapon. And a good hunter knows their weapon. I'll tell you one of the things that I always have to remind myself of. I've got my safety, the button for my safety. I'm always double checking and just making sure I know which way that thing's supposed to be slid, when it's on, when it's off. Always trying to work at that thing. I watched a guy pull up his rifle with a scope on it one time, seen a big old buck coming, and he had forgotten to take the lens caps off. I'm telling you, what a bummer. You better know your weapon. You better know what you're doing. But listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." You see, the Bible is our weapon. The Bible is that which God gives us to go out and reach people. And you say, listen, my Bible is my weapon. When the devil, the roaring lion, wants to hunt me, I use my Bible to fight back. You see, you should know your weapon. You should know your Bible. The Bible in Revelation 1:16 again compares the Bible to a sharp two-edged sword. So, may I recommend to you that while we are seeking the lost and we're trying to help people and we're trying to change lives and we're trying to draw people to the Savior, we're using all those techniques. Could I recommend to you that you stay in your Bible? Could I recommend to you that you know your weapon? Could I recommend to you that you know how to win someone to Jesus Christ? Because what in the world good would it do for you to draw somebody in that needs the Savior, somebody the devil would like to destroy, and you have the chance to influence them for eternity, but you don't even know enough about your Bible to show them how to be born again? Hey, if the Bible is our sword, you better know how to draw that thing out of its sheath. You better learn how to be able to use it to help somebody. You say, I'm not interested in studying my Bible. Well, that's because maybe you're stingy. Maybe all you care about is you. But you need to learn your Bible for somebody else's sake. You need to learn how to get somebody saved for somebody else's sake. So, as I got to thinking about the importance of when we actually hunt, you need to know. You need to know that bow. You need to know that rifle. You need to know how. You need to know how to use that weapon. And we've got to know the Word of God if we're going to hunt the souls of men. So, I said this. We are to hunt the souls of men. We're to seek them. Number two, we should know that there are animals that hunt the hunter. That's the devil. Thirdly, we should know how to draw our prey in using the fruit of the Spirit and right attitudes. Number four, we should know our weapon so we have the Word of God available and ready to help. Number five, I think you ought to know the importance of covering your own scent. Covering your own scent. I have. This is a bar of soap. It's called Scent Away. This you use on your body. You wash yourself with this. Do you know human smell? And you're sitting there right now saying, yeah, I know. You've got to be sitting where I'm sitting right now here. Human smell. This is a bar of soap that a hunter would use, and he would use that to wash away his scent. When you go hunting, most hunters would wash their clothes in a certain kind of a soap that will take away that scent. The animal can smell your flesh. It can smell your flesh. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of the good conscience toward God." You know, here the Bible's talking about the filth of the flesh. That animal has a nose and it can smell your flesh if you're a hunter, and it knows to run away. Can I tell you something, folks? Not only do we have the flesh, the skin that the hunter needs to wash it so it doesn't smell like a nasty old human being. Let me tell you, every human alive has the choice to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. And if we walk in the flesh, we're going to stink to the lost. You say, what do you mean? Our behavior. Again, I talked earlier, you draw them in by right behavior. But God said, you and I should not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. That means this, if we really want to get the job done, if we really want to get the job done, when you go hunting, you do what you can to make sure that your flesh does not smell. You say, how do I take care of that spiritually, Brother Owens? You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody here that's born again, when you got saved, the person of the Holy Spirit of God moved inside you to live inside you. And we are to be in constant communication with Him, asking for His guidance, asking for Him to tell us what He wants. And we're to obey the Holy Spirit of God. You say, how do I do that? Well, to obey the Holy Spirit of God, you obey the Bible. Because the Spirit of God would never tell you to do anything contrary to the Word of God. But we are to walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, there are a bunch of you, your bus captains and your Sunday school teachers and soul winners, what I'm about to say is going to make a lot of sense to you. I'll tell you why sometimes we don't get the job done. I'll tell you sometimes why our Sunday school class doesn't go forward. I'll tell you why our bus routes don't go forward and our soul winning efforts don't go forward. Because you're trying to do the work of God while you're in the stinky flesh. And what you need to do is you need to stop trying to do the work of God in the stinky flesh, and you need to do the work of God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We are not to walk in the flesh, we're to walk in the Spirit. Here's what happens. A person can get up and teach a Sunday school lesson, and when they're walking in the flesh, that lesson will not make an impact. You take that very same Sunday school lesson, and that very same person, having submitted themselves to the Holy Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, something begins to happen. The students begin to pay attention. All of a sudden, God begins to work. Why? Because your flesh is not adequate to change the lives of people. It takes the Spirit of God. And just like a hunter is smart enough to wash off that dirty stink of the flesh, you and I, as born-again Christians, need to wash off the dirty stink of doing our work for God in the flesh and do what we do filled with the Spirit of God. See, you need to understand, you cover that sin. Hey, Sunday school teacher, do what you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, bus worker. Hey, bus captain, do what you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Hey, those of you that invite people to church, I'll tell you something that'll make a difference. You go out and start inviting people to church, and all you do is depend on your personality, you're limiting yourself. But if you will, before you invite people, you say, Holy Spirit of God, please speak to them. Holy Spirit of God, I submit myself to you. Help me with this. I need your help. I can't do it without you. All of a sudden, you begin to see things happen because your personality is not enough. Not only that, let me say this. I think we need to know the importance of the right kind of clothing. I have here a jacket. I wear this, usually this one I wear when I turkey hunt. It's not real heavy. It's a little warmer part of the year. But I wear this, it's camo. Got to wear warm gloves, warm socks. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you want to hunt and do well, you're going to have to know how to dress. In other words, the Bible talks about here the helmet of salvation. If you're here today and you say, well, I'd really like to make a difference and see lives change. If you're not saved, you're going to have to get on the right clothing first. God calls it the helmet of salvation. The Bible talks about the breastplate of righteousness, part of the garb of the Christian hunter. That means you live right, you do right. The Bible talks about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. What's that? You need to learn to be a soul winner. In other words, if you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, you need to live right. If you are living right, then you need to learn to tell other people about Jesus Christ and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something that's very important to me. I think most hunters would tell you this. You need to make sure that if you go out hunting, you're going to have to be able to stay warm. There is nothing like being in a tree stand and freezing to death. Boy, you better keep your feet warm. You better have the right gloves. You better learn how to stay warm. And I'll tell y'all something. If you don't get this, you never will really change lives. You better learn how to keep your heart warm toward people. You better learn how to keep your heart warm toward people. Because the minute you get cold in the Christian life, you'll stop reaching people, you'll stop influencing people, you'll cause every other hunter problems. You put two or three men and you know, 20 acres of land, and at one that he got cold, and before it was time, he climbed down out of that tree stand, he's tromping through the woods. The warm ones are the ones that have a shot at something, and the guy that's cold is never going to get anything. By the way, some of you, your hearts are cold toward people, and you're making it hard for the rest of us to hunt for the souls of men. You don't care. Doesn't matter to you. That coldness will keep us from finding those souls for Jesus Christ. You see, we have to know the importance of the right clothing and keeping our heart warm and salvation and righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Not only that, I think you're going to have to learn, if you want to be a good hunter, you're going to have to learn the importance of being quiet. Being quiet. You go out and hunt, you can't talk. No loud noises. Quiet clothing. Walk quietly through the woods. Sit quietly. You move quietly. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Now, most people that ever sat in a tree stand or behind or in a blind for long, though, it's a wonderful opportunity to pray. It's a wonderful opportunity to spend some time with God. But I will tell you this, if we want to reach people, what we do is we've got to have some quiet time with God, get our hearts right with God, and then go out hunting for the souls of men. It'll make all the difference in the world. And just like I need to be quiet when I'm in my tree stand and be quiet going into the woods and be quiet when I'm out there to hunt, there needs to be in every Christian's life quiet times when we just pray to our God and read our Bibles and think about our lives and make sure we're right with God. So you have to know the importance of being quiet, but not only that, we need to teach our young people the importance of hunting and hunting safety. I believe that. I like it when we pass the sport along. Teach them a love for the outdoors. And most hunters believe that. They want their children to learn it. It's a wonderful opportunity, a privilege. They need to learn that safety. We need to teach them, the rules and the ethics of hunting. Deuteronomy 4:10, it says right at the end of the verse, it says, I will make them hear my words that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Listen, just like I want my children and my grandchildren to learn how to hunt, how to do it right, how to enjoy it, how to be safe, how to be good to the other hunters, I want them to learn all that. I also want my children to learn about helping people and reaching people and making a difference for the cause of Christ. Thank God, on Thursday nights, our teenagers go out and they have a thing called teen soul winning. You know what they're doing? They're out seeking the lost. They're out hunting. And folks, do this. Try to help your children bring some visitors to church. It'd do them good. So mom and dad, why don't you take a Saturday and go gather someone up and get them committed to come to church, to sit in Sunday school with a son or with a daughter and show them the excitement of reaching other people for Jesus Christ. And boy, we ought to stop and pay real close attention. This thing of people sending their children to church rather than coming with them, that's not going to cut it. We don't need to send our kids to Sunday school. Moms and dads ought to come to Sunday school too. It's right for everybody. But let's make sure we pass on this desire. We get excited. I know mom. I know dads and moms both get excited about their children learning to enjoy the outdoors. But do we get that excited about reaching people for Christ? I'm almost finished, but let me say this also. I have down here number 9. We need to learn to show respect to other hunters. You have to show respect to other hunters. You're not the only one in the woods. That's one reason why we'll wear that orange. You've got to be careful out there. I don't think, I don't understand this. I don't understand somebody that can go into the woods and set in somebody else's tree stand. I don't understand somebody that can set a tree stand up right beside somebody else's tree stand. There's certain ethics that I think ought to be practiced by hunters and Christians. The Bible says in Titus 2:10, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Here the Bible talks about the adorning of the doctrine of God. You and I, our behavior ought to make the things of God look good. We can adorn it. We can make things look better to others. Hey, in the church, I think this. I think you and I, our behavior ought to make the church look good to others. We ought to adorn the church. I think we ought to be, earlier I talked about hunting ethics. There are ethics that go along with hunting. It's not every man for himself. There's a certain respect that hunters ought to show for each other and for a piece of property. That it ought to be done that way. Hey, can I tell you something? I believe here in our church there ought to be ethics. I think if you take somebody that's an adult and they're already in somebody's Sunday school class here within our church, I don't think one Sunday school class ought to try to get somebody out of somebody else's Sunday school class to change in our church. That's a bit unethical. You'll cause confusion and hurt within the church. And so our church is reminded, if there's another independent fundamental Baptist church, we don't go around trying to steal members from those other independent fundamental Baptist churches. Now, if a church doesn't believe right, it's not stealing them. It's helping them. But when it's an independent fundamental Baptist church that's proper and right in their doctrine, we shouldn't be going around trying to get them to leave their church, just like they shouldn't be trying to get you to leave yours. That's unethical. There's ethics when we hunt in the woods, and there are ethics within our church, and that's how it ought to be. The last thing I'm going to say is this. I think we ought to learn to show respect to the animal. We ought to show respect. You know, I believe, and I try to be careful when I hunt. I only want to take the best shot. I don't want to wound an animal. I don't want that animal to run off and to be wounded and to suffer. I think that you shoot, I think you ought to go find that animal. And you'll hear stories of people that will look for hours and hours and hours for an animal. You say, why? It's not fair to the animal. First of all, if that animal is wounded, we need to find that animal. Now listen. I don't think you ought to waste. I don't think you ought to shoot the animal and waste it. But the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Now, listen, let me recommend something that now we have compared hunting today out in the woods, and we've compared it to reaching people for Jesus Christ. Let's make sure that we show respect to people. Let's show respect to one another in the church. Listen, you're going to bring a visitor. You're going to bring them next week. The last thing that visitor needs to see is you and another church member fist fighting in the hallway about who they belong to. That's my visitor. I ask him first. Put him up, buddy. Visitor's standing there thinking, goodness, what in the world is wrong with these people? What is wrong with them? Let's make sure we behave ourselves, and let's not wound those that we're trying to reach. You can wound them. I'll tell you something else. When it comes to winning people to Jesus Christ, we believe in standards and righteous living and holy living. But some of you walk up to somebody that's never been saved and you want to talk to them about every little sin that you see in their life. Why don't you talk to them about the Savior and get them saved before you try to go getting them to give up every little sin that they've committed in life? I've watched people that walk up to a fella and, you know, some hippie-looking guy that's got hair all the way down to his knees and he's got a nasty, you know, Budweiser t-shirt on and the guy's lost and he's on his way to hell, and somebody walks up to him and says, I don't like that t-shirt you have on, and I don't like that dirty old long hair. Can I tell you something? It might have been smart for you not to wound that person and get them saved before you try to get them to change those other things. They don't know any better. They need Jesus, and you get him on the inside, he'll clean up the outside. But don't wound the animal. Be careful how you treat them. Hey, we've got some aggressive Sunday school teachers around here, and I thank God for it. But good night in the morning. Let's not have a fight next week about whose Sunday school class they're going to go to. I want them in my class. No, they're going to come to my class. No, they ought to be in my class. Look, folks, all the time two Christians are fussing over something like that, that person that we sought and brought in, they're almost hurt. They're almost offended. Don't wound them with that kind of behavior. Care about the visitor more than the prize you might win. I don't believe in using people. Don't ever lose track of what all the fun's all about. It's really all about getting people saved. It's really all about getting people in the church. It's really all about helping them to get under the sound of the gospel and the preaching. So don't ever lose track of it. I want that prize. I want that prize. I want that prize. I want that prize. The prize is helping the person. Don't wound them with a bad attitude. I was thinking of, we have a ministry here called the Shenandoah Hospitality Ministry. And they do nice things for the adult visitors in our church. Oh, make sure, folks, let's turn on our shine. Next 4 or 5 weeks, lots of people are going to come. We're hunting with Jesus. And what are we to remember? I've given it to you today. Let's all make sure we're hunting the lost to bring them to the Savior. Secondly, remember, there are animals that hunt hunters. The devil will try to slow you down. Thirdly, know how to behave in such a way with kindness, joy, and love that you draw your prey into the church. Then, know your weapon. Know your Bible. Know how to help people. Number 5, know the importance of covering your sin and not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Then, make sure that you put on the whole armor of God and you're dressed in such a way that you're wearing that helmet of salvation. But if nothing else, keep yourself warm. Keep your heart warm toward people. Hey, know the importance of being quiet and spending some quiet time with God. Then, let's teach our young people and get them involved so they too can grow up and enjoy the thing of seeking the lost. Be sure that you protect and respect other hunters. Use ethics in the way we behave among ourselves and with people, and show respect to the law. Show respect to each other. As I said, show respect to the animal. Let's not wound one another. Let's not wound those new recruits for Christ. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you'd like to get in on this thing of helping others and hunting others, first thing I'd say to you is you ought to get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. We'll show you how to bring other people to Christ. We'll show you how to grow in the Lord. But you ought to get saved. You see, God's looking for people to seek the lost. But the ones he uses to seek the lost, they too have been sought and saved. To become a hunter, you get saved. And then you go and you seek lost people and bring them to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.